When I see my brethren hurting, I want a message that will comfort them. And sometimes you have to trust the Lord will give you that, even when you wasn't necessarily looking at a particular scripture or what have you. But in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, the Lord says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. That's his people. Jerusalem, his holy city. Cry unto her. What am I going to tell her? Tell her her warfare is accomplished. That means it's done. You may still see some enemies in the land. You still may see enemies too fierce for you to conquer. You may still see enemies all around you on every side, so much so that you think there is no possible way your warfare could really be finished. But God says, to you who believe, it's finished. It's done. It's done. Look at this second thing. Her iniquity is pardoned. I don't care how bad things are. I don't care how bad things get for us in this life. This is the one thing we need. We need our iniquity pardoned. And he says, it's done. Your iniquity is pardoned. And he says, tell her she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You've received righteousness, forgiveness, mercy, and truth. Double for all your sin. Grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy for all our sin. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What did he say, cry? Look down at verse 6. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Now, the Lord says the warfare is accomplished. And the Lord says, me and you are grass. That means we didn't have anything to do with accomplishing the warfare. Now, the only way that this flesh is going to wither, I mean wither so as to be conquered, wither so as to be brought into submission to God, wither so as to be brought down, so that it doesn't reign in us anymore, is found right here in verse 7. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. When the Spirit of the Lord blows, He withers the flesh in the believer, and He edifies the inward man that He's created in righteousness and true holiness. He withers that which is lustful and useless and worthless and dying and decaying and won't help us whatsoever. He withers that. Why are you worried, the flesh? Why are you troubled, the flesh? Why are you sorrowful, the flesh? The flesh. But through His Word, through His Spirit, He edifies that inward man and He makes that flesh to wither. To wither. Because it needs to be withered. Because look at verse 8. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This is the word whereby you've been born. This is the word of the incorruptible seed whereby you've been born. This is the word whereby you're going to be cleansed and purged and continually brought to the feet of Christ and made to behold the warfare really is accomplished. And you've been rewarded double for all your iniquity, for all your sin. It's going to be by this Spirit. Now, here's what he says to lift up the voice and to declare. End of verse 9 there, behold your God. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What a compassionate, tender God we have. And this is speaking particularly of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came. He's come to this earth. He's come with a strong hand. He is the strong hand of God. He is the arm of God's righteousness, the right arm of His righteousness that rules for Him. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto Him. His reward is with Him. He's not looking for anything for me and you. That's a good thing, because that means no man can buy Him. No man can sway Him. No man can turn Him. His reward is His own. And His reward is that which the Father has promised Him. And that which the Father has promised Him is the glory with which he had with the Father before the world began. And the glory that's promised Him is to have a people. And that will be the completeness of His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And that's His reward. That's what He seeks. The glory of God and the salvation of His people. This is the Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about. His reward is with Him and His work before Him. The recompense for His work. That which God's going to give Him for His work. Now let me tell you this. He's come. He's done the work. He's come. He's glorified the Father in every regard. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of Me. From the beginning it's been talking about Him. And He's come, and He's fulfilled every word that's written. He's fulfilled everything that He promised the Father. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy name, that Thy Son might glorify Thee. And He said this, I have glorified You on the earth. I finished the work which You've given Me to do. I performed that which You've given Me to do. And He went to the cross, and having the iniquity of His people laid on Him, He laid down His life, and He poured out His soul unto death, and He accomplished the warfare. Satan waged war against Him. Man waged war against Him. The law of God waged war against Him. And everything that was waged against Him, I deserved it, and you deserved it. But He conquered, and He won the victory. And He's the captain of our salvation. He's the victor over all the enemies of His people. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now look what it says about this Savior. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. Well, He did that when He walked this earth. No, He's doing it right now. If He's feeding you, if you're being fed, it's because He's doing it. He's going to feed His flock like a shepherd. His flock are sheep. Me and you are dumb, ignorant, stinking, worthless sheep. And we got to have a shepherd. And we got to have a flock. We got to be kept in a flock. So that we won't be turned aside and scattered and taken by the wolf. We got to be together. And He is the shepherd who sends forth His under-shepherds, who gathers His flock together, who keeps them together, and He does it through the word of His gospel. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. What an arm. This one who's seated at the right hand of the Father is gathering His lambs from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, from heaven's glory in this earth. He's gathering them with His arm. And He carries them in his bosom. We're talking about, you picture this now. You picture a flock of sheep. And you picture one sheep over here and it's lost all by itself. And it's lonesome and it's in danger and it's in harm's way. And really the sheep don't even have any idea it's in harm's way. A sheep's just that ignorant. It just don't have any idea it's in harm's way when it's in harm's way. And that's what we are. That's what we are. But this one goes, picture the shepherd going out to that sheep and finding that little sheep. And it's weak. It can't walk. It can't even follow the shepherd. And so the shepherd picks that sheep up and pulls it up next to his bosom and carries that sheep back to the flock. Does Christ really do that? If there's ever been one sheep gathered any other way, he don't have the glory for it. And he gets all the glory. That's exactly what he does. This one who is God Almighty, this one who is man in human flesh, this one who is together God-man, the one who brought God together with humanity in one body, in one person, who has all power in heaven and earth, who upholds all things by the word of his power. This one. We saw him last week for Hezekiah. He turned the sun backwards 10 degrees. Because the sun's doing his bidding. This same one is described here as the shepherd of his flock who gently leads his sheep and gathers them and carries them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, you hear this compassionate, tender, loving description of the shepherd. Now, I want you to hear who this shepherd, behold your God. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? We just watched a tsunami hit Japan. And that's not a big country. And the area that tsunami hit wasn't that big of an area. And we watched it flip ships and cars and buildings like toothpicks. Just a little bit of water. This same one who gently carries his sheep holds the water, all the water, in the hollow of his hand. That's who we're talking about now. He meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who do you think can cause the plates in this earth to shift and just throw us into complete and total chaos? He can. He made everything. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord of being his counselor hath taught him? Who's told him what's best to do? We said, and we get on our platforms and we get to thinking about the shape we're in and the problems that's going on, and this is what we decide. It's just not right for me to be here where I'm at. It's not right for this to be going on. Or we'll say something like this: God's not doing this. God hadn't done this. You know, one time God destroyed every living thing on the face of this planet with water. The same water that you drank today, he ain't made anymore. It's the same water. The same water you drank today, he drowned the whole earth with it. You know, one time People were going about their daily business, men marrying men, women marrying women, fighting for their rights and saying, we got every right to live like this. We can live like we want to. And God rained down hail out of the sky in brimstone and killed the whole city. This is the same God who by His free, sovereign choice, based on nothing good or evil in His people whatsoever, by His free grace, chose to save a people who were no different than all the people that died during the flood during Noah's day and all the people who died in the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. There wasn't a bit of difference in any of them. And He chose a people from among them to save to the praise and the honor and the glory of His grace. This same all-power, all-knowing, all-holy God. And He sent forth His only begotten Son for this miserable lot of wretches. And He sent forth His only begotten Son who's spotless and holy and without fault and without blame. And He came forth, and having proven Himself to be absolutely perfect before a thrice holy God, this one who is God Himself in human flesh, willingly made Himself of absolutely no reputation and laid down His life for a bunch of lying, God-hating rebels. This same one who made everything, who stretched out the heavens in a span. You ever read about the atmosphere in the first of Genesis? He made the atmosphere. He made the atmosphere where everything's held up, where He would create time, put a sun that would come up, circle, go down, circle, all the planets, where He would put a people, where He would perform this grace and work out this salvation, this righteousness, and save that people out of that place into an eternity that's outside of that little ball called the universe. We're talking about a huge God. We're talking about a God so big that we can't even speak in His presence. You know what'll happen? You know, right now we stand here and we act like little gods and like we know something and we're worthy of something. But you know, if God really made His presence known, you know what we'd do? We would try to get in the grooves of those tubifores right there, if we could. We'd hit our face. We'd hit our face. But this is the God. And who's directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who's been His counselor? Who's taught Him? He's done all this without any help from me and without any help from you. What's the best thing you've ever made? What's the best thing you've ever made that you're the most proud of? Probably our children. But we didn't make them. He did. He did. What about something you made? David one time said, I'm gonna build a house for you, Lord. And He said, what you gonna build it out of? Everything you gonna build it out of, I made. How you gonna build a house for me? The heavens is His abode, and the earth's His footstool. You gonna build a house for Him? What's the best thing we ever made? The best thing we ever did? You know where we got our wisdom and our counsel to do it? From Him. But look at everything He's made from the beginning of time right up till now. And everything He's worked and ordered and done. And ain't been anybody been His counselor. Nobody. This is the same one who says, comfort ye my people and tell my people their warfare's accomplished. Tell my people I've accomplished it. Tell my people I've rewarded them double for all their iniquity. Tell my people their flesh is grass. Don't trust in it. Tell my people, behold your God. I'll lead them like a shepherd leads his sheep. and I'll carry the weak ones in my bosom, and I'll bring them home. Look at verse 14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Oh, I get so tired of hearing, that's not fair. I get so tired of hearing, well, that's my right. I get so tired of hearing unjust judges talking about judgment. You seen this new commercial? It reminded me of what I told y'all the other day about an unjust judge. You seen this new one where the woman's making the whole case and she's telling all this to the jury and making the whole case, and the judge looks, she turns around, and I mean, it's all this evidence against the guy, and they turn around, the guy sitting there, and they say, what do you have to say for yourself? And he said, I'm innocent. The judge says, that's good enough for me. And the guy walks out. We're unjust. In everything we do, we'll say, we'll look at something and we'll condemn it and we'll say that's not right and they ought not do that and blah, blah, blah. And we'll turn right around then in our own situation and do the exact same thing and say, but it's just for me to do it. He said, who taught him judgment? I don't know how that an earthquake and a tsunami and all these things could be for His glory, but I guarantee you it will be. I guarantee you it will be. And I know that's hard for somebody that's suffering, but I know it'll be for His glory. Behold, verse 15, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon's not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. What you going to offer to God? What you going to offer? If you had right now, if all restraint was taken off, and everything was opened up at your disposal, and you could run through this world and get the best riches, the best honors, the best clothes, whatever it is, and fix up yourself the best you could with the best this world has. And it's your, just go get it. You got it. Get it. Bring the best that you can. Bring it all to God. What are you going to offer Him? He said, if you had all of the offerings in this whole world, it wouldn't be sufficient. It wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't do. What are you going to offer Him? There's only one thing that God of heaven and earth is pleased with. He's pleased with His Son. He's not pleased with me outside of His Son. He's not pleased with you outside of His Son. He's pleased with His Son, but He's pleased with everybody that's in His Son. You know what I'd do? If I was about to draw my last breath and meet this God, which you are. You are. You are. I'd flee to His Son. I'd flee and get in Him. I think I've told you this before, but out beside my house where I grew up, there was a little, it was old when I was growing up and we didn't use it, but it was a little storm shelter. It was built right into the side of a hill. And, you know, when I was growing up, if you heard that there was a tornado, it generally was, it was there. And there was a shelter there. And you just took off in that shelter. And it all went over you, and you were spared. This is what the Scripture is describing when it calls Christ a sanctuary. He'll be for a sanctuary. Flee into Him by faith. Lay hold of Him by faith. Run to Him by faith. How do I do that? I don't know. It's when He teaches you, you just do it. You won't ask any question. You just say, I believe Him. And I'm staying here. I'm staying put. Well, let's go on here now. Look, He says, All nations before, verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing. They're counted to him less than nothing in vanity. You mean all nations? You mean even the United States? Yeah, even the United States. Every one of them. Vanity. Nothing. To whom then will you liken God? What likeness will you compare unto him? So far, I don't think there's anything that can compare to God, do you? From what we've read right here in this chapter, is there anybody, anything that can compare to God that you can liken to him? Well, we got some vain imagination. This is how vain we are. We'll try to. Look, verse 19. The workman melteth the graven image. The goldsmith spreads it over with gold, and he casts silver chains and tries to make a god, make him look like something. Well, we don't worship it. We just use this to help us worship God. Well, good then. You won't mind if we just melt it down and throw it away. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, he chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? God is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. You know how long we've had this book? You know how long we've had this word in the earth? We've had this long, long, long before Columbus came along. You don't see how smart we are? It said right here all along, he sits on the circle of the earth. And we said, it looks to us like it's flat. Well, it's because we're so little. It's because we're nothing and nobodies. And we don't know anything unless God teaches us. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them as a tent to dwell in. And all men you are, as the inhabitants under this big giant tent, are just grasshoppers. Just grasshoppers. Look, verse 23. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. You see, the princes and the judges of the earth, he said the glory of the grass is the flower. Now when you look out on a field sometime and you look out across and you see all the green grass, and then in the springtime, this time of the year, you start seeing the, what are they? Are they dandelions? Well, what the little thing, the little, you know, they come up, and there are the little yellow flowers or whatever come up out in the field. Well, those are the princes and those are the judges. And those are the wise men. Those are the honorable men. And those are... But they're still just grass. They're still just grass. In fact, the grass was there before the flower was there. And the grass will be there after the flower's there. The flower comes up last and the flower leaves first. But the grass is still there. And we don't really miss the flower when it's gone. We just look out there and there's grass still there. One spring, a flower springs up every now and then. We say, well, isn't that pretty? Next time we look out there, it's gone. Oh, well, we don't lose any sleep over it, do we? Well, from the least to the greatest, you know what we are? We're grass. And he says, he brings the princes, the flowers, to nothing, and the judges of the earth. He makes them vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? I just wish we could just, Lord help us to enter in to who we're dealing with here. Who is this we're talking about? This is the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high. Can you see? Is there anybody here that can see? Lift up your eyes on high. Behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he's strong in power, not one faileth. Do you know how long this world's been around? We claim it's been around billions of years. I don't know how we can tell that. We can't even solve a crime that was committed last week. But we claim it's billions and billions of years. I don't know how old it is, but I know this. I know who's held it in store. I know who made it. I know who's held it. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You don't think this God who knows, makes all this, and has all this said about him, you don't think he knows your heart and my heart? Don't think he sees all things and knows all things? I wonder what... Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Do you have any might? Do you have any power? You know when we really don't come to have joy and be settled and be comfortable and know this all-powerful, almighty, all-saving God until we don't have any strength. I remember one time when I was sick. I was real sick when I was about 5 years old. I had pneumonia, double pneumonia. And I remember the doctors in the hospital having to give me a shot. And I remember them, they were putting an IV in. And I remember them telling me, now stiffen up your arm. And I stiffen up my arm. And they put that IV in me. And about 30 minutes went by, and they were wheeling me down the hallway on a gurney. And they tried to move me and was trying to comfort me. And the lady felt of my arms, and she felt I was just very rigid. And she said, son, what's wrong? And I said, you told me to stiffen my arms up. And that was 30, 40 minutes ago. And she said, well, son, I just meant, well, we put an IV in. You can loosen up now. Just relax and rest. We got you. And then I was able just to relax. They had me. I was safe. They wheeled me down into a nice room. But I didn't realize that until I let go and quit trying to hold on and all that. This is the thing. He says he gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. We're not going to enjoy and find the peace in the heart till we don't have any strength. He said, my strength, my power is made perfect. It's brought to your full understanding, and you enter into it when you're brought to the height of your weakness, or the depth of your weakness, or the end of your weakness, whatever you want to call it, when you have no strength. Then you find out where your strength is. And this is the one we're talking about now. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We think of young folks being really strong. They'll faint, they'll fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You mean to tell me that folks who are faint and who don't have any strength, who are weary and utterly fall, they're going to fly like eagles? And they're going to run and not be weary? And they're going to walk and not faint? How can that be? Go back to the beginning of the chapter. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, your warfare is accomplished. That's how. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. You received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. If we will ever meet this God, let me ask you something. Try to think of something easy everybody will know. Who's the first president of the United States? What color was his hair? What country was he the president of? Where'd he live? Do you know him? You can answer all those questions I just asked you. But you don't know him. We can answer all the questions and learn all the systems of doctrine and learn everything we can learn about him, about God, about Christ. But I tell you what we need. We need to meet him. We need for him to know us. That's what he said. He said, I know my sheep. We need him to know us. We need him to come to where we are and introduce himself to us in invincible grace. And when he does that, we'll know him. And we'll be brought to the end of all our little boasting and our little complaining and our little carrying on and our little judgment, our little so-called wisdom. And we'll meet true wisdom, true judgment, the Holy One. And we'll say for the first time, the half has not been told. I can't even liken this one to anybody. Your friends will say, well, explain to me why it is that yesterday you was walking down the halls with me at school and you said you didn't understand why your mom and daddy went to that place and you didn't want to have anything to do with it. And now today you're telling me you believe on him. Tell me how come that is. And all you'll be able to say is, I just ain't never met anybody like him. I've never met anybody that would take a sinner like me and completely, thoroughly make me a brand new creature, holy to be accepted of him, and he did all the work, and then just came and told me it's all finished. And in every trial and everything we suffer in this life, he just reintroducing himself to us all over again and reminding us. I get the kids sometimes over there to youth study to, you know, we'll look at the computer at that Google Earth, you know, and zoom in on our house, and then we'll just back it up a notch, back it up a notch, back it up a notch till it just ends up in the earth, just this little bitty blip on the computer screen, you know. And then you think of this God holding everything in his hand. We really, aren't we foolish? I know that it's, tomorrow I'll be fretting over a hangnail. But I know, aren't we foolish? I mean, you know when he talks about his work and the work that he does with us, we talk about these big things, and he talks about it being in his hand and all this stuff. But you know the work that he talks about doing for his people? You ever notice in the Scripture he talks about the work of his fingers? It doesn't take that much power to turn me and you, or to turn the king's heart, or to direct things around and move them around and do what he wants to do. Is that too big for you? Too big to get your mind around? Too big for me to get mine around? You know what? I was going to preach to you out of 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Does the baby have to know what the mama ate and whether she'd been getting all her organic vegetables and just exactly how the milk was made and just exactly what channels it goes through and all that? No, he just tastes the milk and says, I know where it is, I know how to get it, and I'm going to drink it. And that's what will happen when God comes to you by grace, like a baby, like a baby. And you don't grow past being a baby. We don't. We'll look at that next time. I pray that'll be a comfort to you.